endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. I'm always glad that you've taken the time to listen to the message this morning. Kingdom Conference 2021 Fall Edition is rapidly approaching, and I hope that you'll send me an email and let us know that if you're planning to attend. It's what the world calls October 28th through the 31st at the Maranatha Bible Camp and Event Center. It's a great time of fellowship with like-minded believers, and I really hope you're making plans to attend. Ted's preparing three messages. I'll have messages prepared. Paul is preparing a message, Matthew, Jerry, Doug Nelson. Sam is preparing something that I believe is really going to be of great interest to all of us. He's going to share his experience growing up blind and being sent to a government school. And he's going to be revealing more information as to why our children, well, and friends, for followers of Christ, I mean, this should have been a no-brainer from the very beginning. Our children should never be in a government school, period, of any kind, ever. But Sam's got some really interesting information that he's going to share related to his experience, but how it's actually much part of a much larger plan than what was basically experimented on when it was experimented on the blind. And he's going to tell you all about that. Followers of Christ have got to come out from the world in every single area of life. It's what I've been preaching for more than 35 years, trying to live it as well. And that haven't gained a whole lot of traction. Yeah, now we've seen fruit. Don't get me wrong. We've seen excellent fruit, quality fruit. Don't misunderstand that. But multitudes of people, no, hardly, come out from the world, be separate, be exclusively God's people. I want to give you an example. The Bible teaches that God gave food for medicine, good food, good water, herbs of the field. He told us what to eat, what not to eat, and all of that is for health reasons. He's the creator. He obviously knows what's best for his creation to eat in order to be healthy. Now, in the list of things to eat, there's not a single man-made chemical in the list. As a result, and you can ask my wife, she'll verify this. I've told her for as long, well, not just her, everyone that would listen to me, for as long as we've been married, I have a no drug policy in my life. I don't take Tylenol if I've got a headache. I don't take Pepto-Bismol if I've got a stomach ache. There's been, I don't know, maybe two times in my adult life where I just failed to live up to my belief system, my faith in this matter. I mean, one time I had an accident and cut three fingers really badly on my left hand, and I went to the emergency room because it was so bad that I just couldn't fix it myself. And they did a surgery to repair as much of the damage as they could. And then when I left the hospital, they gave me a prescription for some high-powered painkiller. I think I took a couple of them, and then just dealing with my conscience was worse than the pain, so I stopped taking them. Now, to stay with me here, I'm talking about my own life experiences, and you can take it or leave it, but I do believe that I came upon some information this week that I think that's vitally important that we understand, and it somewhat vindicates my own radical faith. But one of our faithful listeners sent to me an email asking about vaccine exemption forms. And I had not seen anything like that until I've obviously heard about it, but I haven't seen it until he sent this to me. But it was from a hospital corporation, and it was specifically for people who are wanting to claim a, quote, religious exemption from taking the vax. I mean, this was really interesting because what they were saying was this. Basically, in order for you to claim a, quote, religious exemption, then you need to be consistent with what you claim is your faith, your system of belief. In other words, if you, for instance, are trying to say that the vax was created from aborted baby cells, which it absolutely is, and they even say so in this document, then if that's your belief, then you should also not be taking, and here's the list, okay? This is what they listed in their, quote, religious exemption attestation for COVID-19 vaccine form. These are the things that they said also contain cells from aborted babies. Number one, Tylenol. They say that you'd be disqualified for a, quote, religious exemption if you take Tylenol. Pepto-Bismol, aspirin, Tums, Lipitor, Sinecot, Zegris, Motrin, ibuprofen, Maalox, Simvastatin. I can't imagine eating something we can't even pronounce the name. And by the way, do you know where these drug names came from? Well, if you don't know, you should research it. I think I might have said something about it a few weeks ago, but the names are approved by the FDA, and they have to be completely random. They can't be named after anything they claim to affect. I mean, they're almost just like totally random letters and syllables. It's really weird what they do. And then on with the list now, Ex-Lax. And of course, now some of the names were invented, I mean, long before these new FDA regulations on the names of drugs was revised, but Zocor, Tylenol, cold and flu, Benadryl, Sudafed, Preparation H, MMR vaccine, acetaminophen, Claritin, Zoloft, azithromycin, Enbrel, and others. So what they're trying to say is this. If a person is claiming, quote, exemption from the COVID jab due to religious reasons, then they're disqualified if they have taken any of these other drugs, because all the drugs in that list are also from research from fetal cells from aborted babies. So what's my point? When all this garbage came along from the very beginning, for all of us claiming Christ, it should have just been, oh, well, here's another thing. Just add it to the list. I mean, no need to know the ingredients, no need to research. It's another one of their diabolical, satanic creations. And of course, we'll have nothing to do with it. Just like, quote, vaccine passport. No thanks. Call it what it really is. It's a vaccine license. Well, we don't have any of your other licenses. This is just another one in a long list of licenses that followers of Christ would not have. No big deal. It's just another license. We don't have any of your other ones, so we're not going to have this one either. Okay, this is just another drug. We don't use any of your other drugs, so we won't use this one either. It's the same thing. Well, this is what I'm saying. God is going to have his people. One way or another, he's going to have his people, and they're going to be called out of this world, and eventually they're going to see the line in the sand, and they're going to see that all along there has been another government, there's been another citizenship, there's been another choice to be separated to God, there's been another health system, there's been another of all these different things that we should have chosen instead of chosen the world's ways. And then hopefully, they're finally going to make the right choice when presented again. Is the line in the sand the vax? Well, hopefully for some. But again, here's my point. Some people say that the, quote, vax is the line in their sand. Okay, but on the other side, people are saying, but you take Tylenol. If you take Tylenol, then this is not your deeply held, quote, religious conviction. Well, you won't participate in the vaccine passport, but you've got a driver's license. There's no difference. You participated in this one all of your life with no problems with your consequence. I'm sorry, with your conscience. Why is it all of a sudden a problem for you? Well, then when people are faced with looking at it like that, you realize, oh my, the line in the sand was actually 100 miles back. We should never have made any agreements with these people. We should never have taken any of their drugs. We should never have taken any of their licenses. We should never have ever been citizens with them. We should not have been part of, quote, we the people. That's where we failed. We should never have given them one inch. Give an inch, take a mile. Isn't that the old saying? Compromise is not a good thing when it comes to following Christ. What did Christ say? A little leaven, just a little, a pinch, but it leaveneth the whole lump. Followers of Christ should have no agreements, period, none, with the unbelieving little g governments of this world. Yeah, I know this presents some real problems for us, but we need to fix this. And if you are the only one in your generation that will stand up and say, that's it, I can't do it any longer, then so be it. Then when or if you find other believers in your generation who say the same thing, you need to join yourself in close proximity, physically close proximity. I mean, does the word community come to mind? That's what we're supposed to do. Can you live this way by yourself? Yes, you can. And if you're not part of a community, you still have a responsibility to live the way Christ said to live. But that's not what he wants for his people. He wants his people gathered together in called out Christian communities of believers. Ecclesias is what the Bible calls them. It is a body, and the body is not scattered all over the place. It's not a body if it's not together. Our citizenship is supposed to be exclusively as citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel. Anything other than that is compromise. This is why I read so many passages last week concerning the jealousy of God. He will not share. It's all his, and he will not give an inch, and neither should we. I read this article this past week, and there's some things in here that apply to us, some things that I think that we need to look at for ourselves. But this was from Reuters News Service, and the title is, Vaccinated Mr. President? New York wants proof. UN chief cannot enforce. Listen to this. United Nations, September 15th, and this is 2021, Reuters. UN chief Antonio Guterres stressed on Wednesday that he cannot ask world leaders to show they have been vaccinated against COVID-19. After New York City officials said proof should be required for anyone entering the UN General Assembly Hall. Dozens of heads of state and government and foreign ministers, accompanied by countless diplomats, are due to be in New York next week for an annual high-level gathering at the United Nations. Some leaders are staying away and sending a video statement instead because of the coronavirus pandemic. New York City officials told the United Nations that under its rules, people, quote, entering the UN premises for the purpose of entering the General Assembly Hall would be required to show proof of vaccination in order to gain entry to the hall, end quote. But Secretary General Guterres told Reuters in an interview, quote, we as the Secretariat cannot tell a head of state if he is not vaccinated that he cannot enter the United Nations, end quote. Okay, I see. So, there are some people who can be on, quote, U.S. soil and not be subject to U.S. laws? Well, isn't that interesting? All right, let's keep reading. Quote from the article. The UN headquarters in Manhattan is international territory and is not subject to U.S. laws. However, UN officials have previously pledged to abide by local and national guidance when it came to the pandemic. In other words, you know, we know that, you know, we're not subject to your laws, but we're not going to make this too open and public because we wouldn't want anybody else to think that maybe they also are not subject to, quote, U.S. laws. Okay, so someone at some time declared that the UN headquarters in New York City is international territory and not subject to, quote, U.S. laws. Well, how exactly does that work? Because I've been told that anytime someone is on, quote, U.S. soil, that they're subject to the statutes of the state. Well, apparently that's just not true, is it? And if it's not true for some people, then it's not true for all people. There are reasons why people are subjected to statutes, and it's not just because they're on a certain piece of soil. Now listen to me. Every man, woman, boy, and girl ever born is subject to the laws of God. There are no exceptions. There are no exceptions in the statutes of God. If there was, and God forbid this is a horrible comparison, but if there were vaccine requirements in the laws of God, there would be no exemptions. Let every soul be subject. Every soul is to be subjected to the laws of God. There are no exceptions. There are no exemptions. But when it comes to the statutes of men, they are full of exemptions and full of exceptions. This is why we should do nothing to submit ourselves to their statutes. Submitting to their statutes is a choice men make, and it's a horrible choice. It's the wrong choice, but it is a choice. We must never give an inch on the fact that we cannot, will not, voluntarily submit ourselves to their statutes. And I hate to say it, but it's true. Filing for a, quote, religious exemption to their facts is submitting to their statutes. Filing any exemption with them, filing any exception with them, is submitting to their statutes. We just have to say no. We're citizens of another country. Our country forbids, the laws of our country forbids, the king of our country forbids his citizens from taking vaccines of any kind. Not just this one, all of them. Not just this drug, all of them. Not just this passport, all of them. Not just this license, all of them. The Commonwealth of Israel has no licenses. Licenses are not biblical. They're not in the Bible, our law book. We've got to stand on this and never give an inch. We have a jealous God who will not budge. He is not willing to share his dominion with anyone, especially not men who have not bowed the knee to his son. Wow, that's just about as clear as can be from learning the mind, the will of God from the recorded word of God. Okay, the article continues, quote, "We have discussed with the municipality, New York City, the different ways to ensure that we have the maximum of people with vaccination, and the New York mayor's office has put a vaccination capacity at our disposal. So people that come will be able to be vaccinated," Gutierrez said. Again, let's not just go too crazy on this idea that some people that are on U.S. soil are not subject to U.S. statutes. Okay, let's not get too crazy with letting people know about that. All right, Gutierrez said the discussions around how many traveling diplomats might have been immunized illustrated how dramatic the inequality is today in relation to vaccination. Though he added that the overwhelming majority of delegations traveling to New York would be vaccinated. Yeah, sure they would. Out of 5.7 billion doses of coronavirus vaccines administered around the world, only 2% have been in Africa. End quote. Well, that's such a crock, absolute crock of you know what. There's not a country in Africa where if the, quote, leader wanted to take their diabolical jab that it wouldn't have been done. That is such bullish, just ridiculous. All right, continuing. Guterres has warned that the longer this virus circulates among billions of unvaccinated people, the higher the risk of more dangerous variants. He is pushing for a global plan with the aim of vaccinating 70% of the world's population by the first half of next year. For some of you that know me a little better than others, you know that I enjoy numbers. So I just kind of fact-checked what he said about his numbers. He says that 5.7 billion doses have been administered already. Well, they claim that there's a little more than 7 billion people in the world. Well, if almost 6 billion have taken the jab, then they've already exceeded their 70%. By my calculations, those numbers are already at 75%. So, of course, I think they've been lying about how many people have actually taken the jab anyway. But being the Secretary General, I think he should quote his statistics just a little bit better, at least. Well, I also thought, while I was reading this article, it'd be a good time to see if the UN was part of the population reduction heresy. So I looked up, did a little research on that, and I came up with this. This is from populationmatters.org, September 12, 2019. The United Nations 17 Sustainable Development Goals imply that there is no longer any need to reduce global population growth, even though it is a serious problem that undermines most of the Sustainable Development Goals targets. By adding a further SDG aimed at slowing the increase in population, the world could yet save the UN's 2030 agenda. On September 24 through 25, world leaders will gather at the United Nations in New York to review progress toward the UN's 2030 agenda and its 17 Sustainable Development Goals. The SDGs, which aim to, quote, end poverty, protect the planet, and ensure prosperity for all, are commendable and summarize the kind of world many of us wish to see in 2030. But if this vision is to have any chance of materialization, governments must now add an 18th goal, dampen population growth. The challenges that humanity faces today stem mainly from overconsumption and overpopulation. Yet policymakers often fail to consider the two factors together and largely neglect population growth in particular, end quote. Well, Bill Gates has already come out publicly talking about the world's problem of overpopulation, and he said that a way to combat it is with vaccination. And it doesn't take too much research to see their transparency in regards to population reduction. Right back to the UN article. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said on Wednesday that the city would provide COVID-19 testing and the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine at a site outside UN headquarters this week. That's odd. Why that one? Why not the one that the FDA supposedly approved? Anyway, de Blasio praised UN General Assembly President Abdullah Shahid for telling UN colleagues in a letter that he strongly supports proof of vaccination and would work with the Secretary General to implement the requirement as soon as possible. However, Russian UN Ambassador Vasily Nebenzia said on Wednesday that Moscow objected to anyone having to show vaccination proof to enter the General Assembly, describing such a move as discriminatory, end quote. Well, I've said before, I'm happy to see resistance from almost any source. Amazing. The Russians spoke up against this. Not the U.S., not the U.K., Russia. Okay, back to the article, and it's almost finished. In a letter to U.N. colleagues, Nebenzia called for the General Assembly to meet on Thursday to discuss the issue. It was not immediately clear if such a meeting would be scheduled. New York City officials told the United Nations that the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant was a major concern and that new cases had increased significantly in the past 2 months. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, last month urged world leaders to send videos instead of traveling to New York, saying it would help prevent the gathering from being a super spreader event. Last year, no country sent delegations to New York, and world leaders instead sent video statements, end quote. I was speaking with a man this past week, 73 years old, business owner, and he had started in about telling me about Corona and how it had affected his business, and he wasn't very happy about it. So I asked him, I said, how many people do you know personally that have died from Corona? And his answer was, well, my son knows. Well, and I immediately stopped him. I said, no, I didn't ask you how many your son knew. I said, how many do you know that have died from Corona? And he said, well, no one. I said, well, isn't that interesting? Because I don't know anyone either. And my wife doesn't know anyone. And no one else that we know knows anyone. How could that be? And he answered that he believed that there was something sinister that was going on that we don't know about. Well, friends, we do know about it. And he does too. And the sooner we realize that those who do not claim to be citizens of the kingdom of God, those that want to continue with the whole scheme of nation states and that they're ordained of God to exist, the sooner we realize that those that are outside of the city of God, they lie and love to make lies. If we will add that to our faith, our system of belief, we'll be one step closer to seeing our generation come to Christ. They're all liars, and from their father, the devil, the one who is the father of lies. Now, yes, of course, I understand this. Their father is dead. But that element continues to live according to the ways of their dead father. Its spirit continues. And I mean spirit as in its beliefs, its teachings. The spirit of Antichrist will always be around, and it will always be the enemy of the kingdom of Christ. But that spirit is kept alive in men's little g governments, in their sciences, in their arts, in their music, in their health system, quote unquote, their education system. And what's even worse than that, their devil is kept alive in their churches. Their, quote, churches do everything they can to make sure people believe that their devil is actually still alive and doing very well today. And it's not just the teachings of the devils. It's the devil himself they want to make sure that people believe is still alive today. In this series of messages, I've done all that I could do. Well, that may not be completely accurate because I could have still spent weeks, maybe even months, proving again that those people whose lives were recorded in the Word of God, they had no choice in the way they were going to live. We talked about Jacob and Esau. We talked about Pharaoh. We talked about Mary. Mary, if you want to, if you choose to, God wants you to have a baby. And if you want to, I mean, if you'd like to, name him Jesus or more likely Yeshua. But if you decide to cooperate with what God would like you to do, this baby will be God's son and he'll be the Savior, Redeemer, and King of Israel. So if you'll choose to allow this to happen, God's going to be really happy with you. Or Judas, if you don't want to betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver, you've got a choice not to. You can just walk away if you don't want to do this. You've got a choice in the matter, Judas. And even though it was prophesied hundreds of years earlier that you would betray Christ for 30 pieces of silver, if you choose not to do this, you can just walk away. And I could go on and on and on, and you know that I could. If we had a round table discussion, you'd all be given your own examples as to how the people who are written about in the Bible had no choice in the outcomes of their lives. It had to be that way. Everything in there was written for our learning, the good, the bad, all of it. And everything in there had to happen so that Christ would be born and enter the world at exactly the right time. It was all planned. And I'm offering the conclusion of it, that the old world was predestined, foreordained, because it had to be. But in the new world, where all things are become new, predestination and foreordination has been replaced with whosoever will. And to date, I have received no objections whatsoever from anyone that what I've said concerning predestination in the old world was the way it was. I don't know how. I just don't know how. If anyone even wanted to, I don't know how they could argue otherwise. All right, let's get back to John chapter 3, and let's at least try to finish reading. Okay, this, I believe, is Christ giving a glimpse of what was soon coming at the end of the old world and the establishment of the new. You know, it's been so long since we were here. Let's go ahead and begin reading again from verse 1. This is John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, there was another time when the Pharisees came to Christ, and from the context of that instance, I mean, the text tells us that they came to trick Christ. They were deceitful, they were not honest in what they were doing, and Christ told them so. He saw right through it. Okay, he knew they were wicked from the beginning, and the text tells us so. But in regards to Nicodemus, I don't think we see the same thing. And by the way, the comparison that I was making just a minute ago was from the Luke 20, render unto Caesar passage. But Nicodemus, it seems, was by himself when he was speaking with Christ. And in verse 3, it continues, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want you to know that I've gone back and I've tried to find the phrase born again in the first 39 books of the Bible. Now, I could be wrong, I'll just tell you that, but I don't believe that we can find born again in the first 39 books. And actually, in the last 27 books, outside of these few verses here in John chapter 3 and just a couple of more, this certainly seems like this is a radical new concept that Christ was ushering in. And I believe that that is an accurate statement to make. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? All right, now I think we really need to begin looking at this story even closer than ever. All right, verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Well, I think that's very interesting. I don't find in this text that Nicodemus was there to tempt Christ or that his motives were bad. There's nothing here that tells us that he was a bad guy. I mean, he was a religious leader in Israel, but he did not know what Christ was talking about. And I believe he didn't know because this was an entirely new concept that Christ was bringing to Israel. The people in the old world were born for one reason. Their lives were already planned ahead of time. They couldn't have been reborn. Born again with a fresh start, with a new life, because their lives were already structured before they were even born. Isaiah 1, before you were even born, I ordained you for my purpose. This concept of new birth was brand new. Verse 11, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Jesus is telling Nicodemus, you're supposed to be a master teacher of the Bible, but you don't understand these things. But wait a minute. Where is the concept of being born again explained in the writings of the law? Is it plainly discussed? No, I don't believe it was. We've seen some glimpses of it, but only because we already know the outcome. But Christ is laying it out here, and Nicodemus could not even begin to see it. You're not seeing these things from the old world. Now I'm trying to explain things to you that are coming in the new world. I believe that that's what Christ was saying here. I'd never really thought about it that way before until this week, but Christ is getting ready to reveal some heavenly things that were coming in the new covenant world, things that were not the standard in the old world, but were coming in the new world. Verse 13, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." All right, now watch this closer than you ever have before. Verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world. What world are we talking about? We're not talking about the old covenant age. We're not talking about the new covenant age. We're talking about the cosmos. We're talking about God's creation. Everything that God created. This is the cosmos. And because God loved his cosmos, his creation, he loved it so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, I ask you, when did he give his only begotten Son? In the first century, in the end of the old covenant world, just prior to the beginning of the new world, at the end of the old covenant world, he gave his Son. That is huge that we understand this. If a man or woman does not understand the end of the old, they cannot understand these things. If someone doesn't understand that the end of the world has not already occurred, then they cannot understand this. This is another reason why Nicodemus couldn't understand it. He didn't understand the end of the world. Christ had not explained that yet. Today, if a man or woman does not understand the meaning of the end of the world, they will not understand this teaching of Christ. They'll have all sorts of problems trying to reconcile, "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, with whosoever will may come." Look, this isn't hard. You can't have "Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated" at the same time as "whosoever will." Esau could not have been included in "whosoever will." And even when he tried, when he cried with bitter tears, though he sought repentance carefully with tears, he could not. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened by God. "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will harden who I want to harden." That cannot be reconciled with "whosoever will." It can't be done. I'm not trying to tell you that I've got all the answers. I'm not saying this at all. But I'm telling you that I've been thinking and studying and praying about this for more than 35 years. And when you understand fulfilled Bible prophecy, when you understand what the end of the world means, and you constantly try to sort out the implications of that faith, of that system of belief, then all of a sudden, it's not that hard. But with it now comes a huge responsibility. Because now we realize, oh my, we aren't just puppets on a string. We're not being moved about with the breeze. We aren't being put in situations where someone else is in total control and there's absolutely nothing that can be done to alter our course. I still say, No matter how much I try to think the other way, to me, it is a hopeless situation to believe that everything in this life is done because that's the way God wants it done. We're being faced with forced vaccinations, and that's the will of God. So there's nothing we can do to resist. We should just sit back, shut up, go along with it, because this is what God's want. What God wants. I don't believe that. We have choices to make. And had we made those choices years ago, we absolutely could have turned the world upside down and our generation would not be facing what we are today. But because we did not choose to follow Christ, we chose to walk according to the course of this world because we thought that that's what God wanted. Instead, we're reaping the fields of our choices. And this is not, none of this is God's fault or his plan. If God's people would have said, no, we'll not compromise one inch. No, we're citizens, exclusive citizens of the Commonwealth of Israel, and we will live accordingly no matter what part of God's creation our feet are on. Things would have been different today than what they are. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there's another king, one Jesus. That was written so that we would know the way that we're supposed to live. Those people didn't have a choice. They did what they did because it was predestined before the foundation of the world. And what they did produced a certain result, and their actions, followed by the results shown, were written to show every subsequent generation under God's new covenant, whosoever will world. If you make the same choice, the same result will follow. A plus B equals C, and that's how it is. All it takes is for faith, the system of belief, to be those of the same as those in the first century. Then trust it. Trust it means to live it. That's what it means. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? Why did God give his only begotten Son? Why did God give his only begotten Son at the end of the Old Covenant age? So that in the new covenant age, in the new world, where behold, I make all things new, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Pharaohs, the Esaus, the Judases, the Pharisees in the old world, they did not have a choice. Their hearts were hardened. Their outcomes were already determined, but not in the new world. Even the wacko maniacs like the Bidens and the Trumps, they could actually repent and believe in King Jesus and not perish, but have everlasting life. The new covenant world is so much better than the old one. There's not even a comparison. If you were alive in the old covenant world, the only hope you would have ever had would have been to be born as one of the chosen. Otherwise, you were without hope, not a chance. But not so in the new world. Everything that was ever done in the old world was done so that in the new world, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In the old world, much of that world was condemned before they were even born. The children not yet being born, having done any good or evil. That's what it says. Jacob and Esau had no choice, but because God so loved his creation, at the end of the old covenant world, he gave his only begotten Son so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And to me, that is just awesome. The new covenant world, the kingdom of Christ, the ecclesia of God was the plan from before the foundation of the world. The old world, the old covenant age, happened exactly according to the plan, so that one day at the end of that age, a new and better way would be brought in, and whosoever will may come is that better way. Are you going to try and tell me that whosoever will may come is not a better way Then Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Before those boys were ever born, they didn't have a choice. Do you really think that is a better way? Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Wow, this is such a better way. Believe in the name. And again, what is name? It's authority. It's who's your king. It's whose laws do you follow? Where's your citizenship? You mean I can choose to be a follower of Christ? You sure can. I can choose to believe in Christ? You sure can. You can have the Bible preached to you skillfully and rightfully, and that word will convict your heart and will convince you of your need to come out of the world and into the kingdom of Christ, and you say, yes, that's what I want. And the power of God will come upon you and change your heart and will make you clean and forgive you of your sins, your bad choices. The bad choices that you made in your life prior to coming to Christ. He'll forgive you. He will cause you to be born again. He will give you a completely new, fresh start where all things have passed away. And behold, all things are become new. You, me, all of us can make that choice because God so loved his creation that in the end of the old covenant world, he gave his only begotten Son so that just like the serpent in the wilderness, when he's held up, when he's presented as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when men look at him and believe on him, they become the sons of God. This is God's free gift in the new covenant world, and it's available to whosoever will. I believe this understanding provides the greatest hope for mankind. It's the reason why we get up in the morning. It's the reason why we try to teach men and women, boys and girls, their absolute need to give their lives to Christ. When men and women, boys and girls give their lives to Christ, it means they've been presented with the gospel that Jesus Christ is King right now. It's the gospel that the Commonwealth of Israel is the only God-ordained government in the world. It's the gospel that God's laws are the only laws that men should be governed by. It's the gospel that men and women, boys and girls, are to come out of the domain of darkness and into the light. When that gospel is preached, and men and women, boys and girls, choose to embrace this, they choose to become fully immersed into Christ. They choose to allow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to take the throne of their lives and exclusively follow him and his kingdom. When this happens, lives change. They've made the choice to choose Christ, his kingdom, and his Father's laws. No doubt their lives are going to change. And when these lives change, communities change, states change, for lack of better words, nations change, the world changes. But friends, this is not the gospel that most of us have heard all of our lives. Most of us have heard the gospel of the church preached to us. And friends, it's a damnable lie from the father of lies. Just as I am without one plea has not gotten the job done. The churchian gospel says nothing about what it means to be fully immersed into Jesus Christ. By being fully immersed into Jesus Christ, it means that everything we think, everything we believe, and everything we try to do in this life is based on the teachings of Christ and an unwavering commitment to his teachings. Quote, church is all about supporting men's little g governments. That's why every single one of them fly the U.S. flag in front of them. That's why every single one of them support the blue and support the military, support the con. And I'm telling you, just like I've been telling you for years now, if what you believe about the Bible has been shaped or molded in any form by anyone or anything that still uses the word, quote, church, then you better reevaluate. I tried to clarify several weeks ago about the word church to, again, just make sure that I could not be misunderstood. I'm telling you, it's not just the word church. It's the concept. It's driving down the streets of America, any street in America, where you'll see one, quote, church building after another. And that is not biblical. That is not God's creation and is absolutely not what Christ built. The concept, the whole perception of what is in people's minds today when they hear the word church, the whole concept is a lie. And for men that claim to be preachers today, if when presented with the truth that even the very word church should not be in our English Bibles, if they refuse to study for themselves to find out whether or not that is so, if they continue with, quote, church, I'm telling you they do so because they do not know the Bible. And yet this is where the whole concept for most people concerning salvation or being in Christ or being saved, this is where most people in our generation have developed their faith. It's where predestination and foreordination versus whosoever will. That's where it's come from. And this is why we're in the situation we're in today. There are so many people out there who've come in contact with H2O and they call it being baptized. But the truth is they can be put in water until they begin to grow gills. But until they've become fully immersed in the name, in the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I'm afraid they merely think or hope that they're in Christ. I don't believe it's a guessing game. If predestination and foreordination were still in effect today, no one would ever know that they were in Christ until after they, quote, died. Because the choice would have never been theirs. And even if they would have or could have chosen, if God had not planned it to be that way, neither would have mattered. But in the new world, we can choose. And we can see the fruit of that choice. We can absolutely know that we've been given everlasting life and we've been made one of the sons of God. And to me, that is so exciting. This, I believe, provides great hope, great peace, and great comfort in very troubling times.
To enter your heart, why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he has waited before, and now he is waiting again to see if you're willing. His arms open. so lonesome, I never had a friend. Always looking out for number one. Didn't know where I was going, didn't care where I had been. The life I lived had me on the run. One day Jesus found me and took my sin away. He showed me what I thought I'd never see. He put me in his family, and he's with me to this day. Let me tell you what salvation's done for me. Used to be a blind man, but now my vision's clear. Mercy came and drove the shame from me. There's peace of mind with Jesus that drives out every fear. Stronger than I thought I'd ever be. I can't tell you why he loves me the way that I had been. Why I'm worthy of this life of victory. I know I'm not worthy, just a sinner saved by grace, but I can tell you what salvation's done for me. I'll go to my reward, where heaven waits for those who've been set free. With saints from all the ages, in the presence of our Lord. This is just what salvation's done for me. Used to be a blind man, but now my vision's clear. Mercy came and drove the shame from me. There's peace of mind with Jesus that drives out every fear. Stronger than I thought I'd ever be. I can't tell you why he loves me the way that I had been. Why I'm worthy of this life of victory. I know I'm not worthy, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, but I can tell you what salvation's done for me. I can tell you what salvation's done for me.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com.